from Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for North East Dublin. 90.3. Near FM.
My first guest this morning is Suzanne Rogers from Social Justice Ireland. And Social Justice Ireland have just launched a new guide to a fairer Ireland, Social Justice Matters. And I'm delighted now to be speaking to Suzanne to tell us all about that report and why they brought it out. Hello, Suzanne, how are you?
Good morning. I'm only two exits over on the M50 and I've got grey skies here, so I'm delighted that there's blue skies where you are.
Oh no, you've grey skies. Because it was so awful over the weekend for the bank holiday and the sun had gone, so it was lovely to see the sun again today. Sorry that you don't have it there where you are. So tell us about this now. It's an annual socio-economic review. And I mean, basically, is it because of the pandemic situation? Or, I mean, you bring these reviews out all the time. But this really, I mean, you're addressing the cost of living crisis, how to deliver housing, healthcare. Tell us about this report.
This is an annual piece of work. It's going back decades and it's almost like a state of the nation address. We look at all of these different headline topics, what's happened in the past 12 months, what do we need, how can policy maybe change in order to deliver more housing, deliver a better education system, deliver a better transport system. And I think what's unique about what we do is that a lot of organisations are either group-based or issue-based. And what we're doing is looking at everything because it's all connected. You know, transport is connected to education. Education is connected to work. Work is educated to income. Income is educated to, you know, linked to taxation. Taxation then looks at, well, how do we pay for all of this?
Yes, yes.
And obviously the last 2 years have been extraordinary. And then we've had the war in Ukraine as well. Now, that kind of, that kicked off just as we were finalising this. So there's very little mention of that in the book. But the last 2 years have been really difficult for a lot of people across the world, and especially those on low incomes.
Yes. And I mean, between Brexit, the pandemic, and now the Ukraine war, all of these have had effects, knock-on effects on the cost of living, really.
They have. And whilst we acknowledge that every single household in the country has been impacted, everybody's bills have gone up, everybody's weekly shop has gone up, everybody who puts petrol in their car or diesel in their car or oil in their house, they've seen that go up. But it's well documented. The Central Bank, the ESRI, Parliamentary Budgetary Office, they've all said that it's the low-income households, it's older households and households in rural Ireland who have been impacted most, because they spend more of their money on these basic goods. And you know yourself, like, this is, there's more, if there's more going out than coming in, something's got to give. And if you're with the best budgeting will in the world, it's very, very, very difficult to make cutbacks when all of your outgoings are the basics. Everything is the essentials. It's not like you're cutting back on the nice things or the little luxuries. It's very much a case of, you know, will I put the, will I have a hot shower today, or will I leave it for 2 days? You know, that kind of thing, because I don't want to put the, don't want to put the immersion on, I don't want to put the heat on.
Yeah, or will I eat, or will I pay rent? But now you go into, you know, what the key long-term challenges facing the government are. Do you, in this report, then put ideas or things in, maybe solutions?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a key part of this document, is the three elements of it. Where are we now? Where would we like to be? And the hard bit is, how do we get between those 2 points? You know, all of this, how income is distributed, how our system works, it's not natural. It's not, which, that's just the way it is. These are all decisions made politically, made at local political level, made by the language we use in our media. So we always put forward policy proposals. So say for something like education, we can see that there's going to be massive changes over the next couple of decades in the amount of children coming into primary school and then into secondary school. It's going to actually drop. which means that now is the time to really look at the pupil-teacher ratios. And then when you look at pupil-teacher ratios, you say, right, the most effective place is teeny tinies. The youngest kids benefit the most from having smaller class sizes. Mm. So it's about putting forward proposals, saying, these are the numbers, this is where we're headed, these are the types of policies that you can put into place that will actually make a real difference in individual lives, and then obviously us as a community, as an island community, as we move towards together.
Now, you're saying it's going to drop, so I suppose statistics are showing that there's less children being born, is that it?
That's it, yes. Mm. Less children being born, and obviously it doesn't take into account the influx of Ukrainians this year. That has changed the conversation dramatically.
Yes.
But it's looking at things like that. It's, you know, looking at, say, more of us are going to live longer. We are going to be much older. So our whole population, our whole demographic is going to change. There's going to be less young people and much more old people. So how do I want to age in place? How do I want to be looked after as I age? They're the sort of questions that we're looking at.
Yeah. Well, then it will go to all society. I mean, it will go to hospitals, because I've noticed myself and friends have noticed that when they put their loved ones into hospitals, it's constantly, I even said it myself to the consultant, I said, you're very ageist. You know, they just kept telling me my mother's age. And I'm like, I know my mother's age, you know, but do something, you know. And it's like you get to a certain age and let's put her on the heap or put him on the heap, whatever. And there's I've actually just been doing the census, collecting census forms and delivering, and the amount of lovely, vibrant older people in this area, and they're just, their stories to tell, and the laugh I had on the doorsteps with them, they're just, you know, I don't want to think that in years to come, when I get to a certain age, it's literally, we don't want to know. So all of this infrastructure has to be put in place, and a different mindset to older people. And how do we do that? How do we change their mindset?
I think, we'd be a huge fan, I suppose, of that stone out of the water and the ripple effect. So I think a lot of it will come down to individuals as I age. I mean, according to Tilda, I'm now old. I don't feel that. I don't think that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of it will be, I think, how us as individuals, as we age, engage with our societies. I mean, my parents are thankfully still with me. They're younger in their 70s than their parents were in their 70s, and their parents probably didn't even make it to the 70s. So I think a lot of it will be on a family, on an individual basis, that as we are much more vibrant and much more, I think, I suppose, that time and that expertise that we have to give, I mean, it cracks me up. Like, when you think of when you were a teenager, you knew everything. You were so convinced that you had all the answers, and that anybody over the age of 25 had no idea about anything. And it's only as you age that you realise that obviously older people do know stuff. They've been around the block more than once. So I think a lot of that will be as we ourselves, as individuals, I suppose, interact and become more visible in societies. Older people as well they're the people who are volunteering. They're the people who are active in their local communities, because they now, thankfully, have the time and the energy and the ability and the education to be able to give back to their community. But everything is linked again. It will be about rural Ireland, particularly ageing in rural Ireland is very different than ageing in an urban environment.
Yes.
Housing will be hugely important. I mean, it's very rare now that you would see a housing estate like where I grew up, say, closer to the city centre in Cabra. So you had that social housing, and you had then the old folk, what we call the old folks flats. So as people aged out of those family homes, they were able to maybe just move 2 or 3 over or 10 doors up as they were. And so they stayed within their community. So they had housing that was suitable for their needs, suitable for their mobility issues. And they were still surrounded by their friends, their family, their church, their pub, their shops, everything was still
there. Yes, yeah, so they do that in Europe. Yeah, they do that in the European countries. There's a lot of these social housing, and you raise your family, but then as you get older, if they've all left the nest, you can move, but you're still within your nice community and your friends around you, and you just move maybe to a one bedroom place or two bed, and it's so much nicer. But even with regards to our terminology, I was talking over the weekend and my nephew's fiance, and she was talking that she's in her 30s and she's classified as a geriatric if she was to have a child now. It's, you know, and I mean, I think that's just crazy, the terminology even that is used, you know, that somebody in their early 30s is geriatric. That's just bad.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that it's a medical term. I know I had my child as a geriatric mother of 37. And now, to be fair, they didn't use that terminology, to be honest with you, because it was a thing of, you know, so look, nearly everybody's now much, much older, as you know, in these sort of more developed Western countries, that we have the ability to plan our families a lot more, and that people are getting older. And again, I suppose even that comes down to economics as well. I mean, a lot of people, it makes me sad when people say, no, I would love to have had more kids, but I couldn't afford them. Like, all of that is linked in with the cost of housing.
Yes.
The cost of housing has an impact on family formation. Family formation then has an impact on, go back to where we started, which is the school numbers. You know, it's all linked. It's all connected.
Yes, definitely. But you say in it, like your report addresses, how can we address labour market challenges of low pay, underemployment and long-term unemployment? So give me an idea of what ideas you may have put into your report.
So something like low pay, traditionally, if you ever read anything, especially in Irish policy, about poverty, employment was your way out of poverty. So that was the answer. To move away from being social welfare dependent into employment, boom, poverty problem solved. That hasn't happened. So what we've got now is a massive cohort of people who are in work, working full time, and that wage doesn't actually provide enough for them to live a decent basic standard. So our key issue here would be to look at a refundable tax credit. So we've done a lot of analysis on this, and what we've been able to show is that every time in the budget the tax credit increased, it's generally those who earn more who get a bigger chunk of that tax credit.
Yes, yes.
So what we would be hoping for then is that anybody who maybe doesn't earn enough, if you don't earn enough to, you know, to use your tax credit, it doesn't make any difference then how, if they add another 100 onto it, another 200 onto it. So we would advocate that it would be refundable. So whatever section of it that you don't use, that would be refunded to you at the end of the year, obviously given certain, you know, terms and conditions. We're very conscious as well that low pay, it's the social welfare system that picks up the slack there. So if businesses don't pay their employees enough, then the employee then is into maybe housing assistance payment or family income supplements or, you know, medical cards. So again, everything is connected. Like, is it okay for an employer to not pay his staff enough for them to rent somewhere, get their bus fare in and out, go somewhere nice at the weekend? You know, that's the sort of thing that we would expect to be just standard issue.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, it's normally the people who are working the hardest in the hardest jobs are on the lowest pay. And it's really, you know, it's not right, and it should be addressed that employers need to see that they have to give a share of their profits to pay their staff properly, that they can live. It's not as if they want luxury yachts and they want big holidays, just to be able to live, as you say, to be able to just put food on the table and pay the bills and pay the rent and not be stressed about it.
Again, because it's all linked, the anxiety and the stress that comes with living on social welfare, living on low income, you've got an impact then on the health system, you know.
Exactly.
So everything is connected, you know. If we provide, if we're in agreement that a social welfare payment is to be paid to people whilst they're unable to look after themselves, what do we think that payment should do? It should keep the roof over your head, food on the table, heat, light, top up your phone, pay for your haircut, pay for your bin bags, you know, nothing too extravagant, you know, but you should be able to maybe buy a birthday present, buy a few Christmas presents. As you said, it's not, we're not talking about yachts, and we're not talking about summers in Biarritz. It's what we would consider just to be the standard that is acceptable in a rich country. Like, that's another point as
yes.
well. Like, this is a wealthy country.
Yes, it is. But I mean, like, there's all the top layer are getting the cream, you know, and taking the lion's share of it, whereas the worker bees are on very, very low pay, and finding it very difficult to live. But I mean, even the fact that I thought it was crazy when they start putting this, that you couldn't get cheap drink. And they were saying that it was because they were trying to address, you know, alcoholism and other things like this. But I mean, people on low pay, they're not able to go out to the pub. They barely can put a few, you know, the food on the table and pay the lighting bill. And then to not be able to buy a cheap bottle of wine at the weekend or something, you know, it's just everything seems to be against the people on low pay. You know, everything seems to be against them. You know, it's not right at all. But you also say now, you have how can we address the and deliver affordable and appropriate accommodation and put an end to our market-driven dysfunctional housing system? So how do you feel that we can address that?
It needs to go back to what we were doing decades ago when we had no money then either, which is to deliver social housing or public housing. It depends maybe on the kind of language that people use. But what happened was we sold social housing off, and then we relied on the private market to provide social housing. And this whole concept of treating everything like a business and thinking, well, it'll be much more effective, or it'll be much more, it'll be better run if we think of it as a business. Education, health, transport, housing, these are not businesses. They don't, they're a common good, they're a public good. So we really need to get back into that thinking that social housing is the key, which again moves everybody up the bed one. So anybody who's eligible for social housing gets their social housing. That pulls them out of the private rented sector, where again that plays a part. That's a really important part of the whole housing system, but that it's not under as much pressure as it is at the moment. People aren't, you know, queuing up and paying well over the odds if something goes on a viewing and then there's like 70 people ahead of you in the queue. And again, cost rental will have a place in that. We still haven't sorted out the mortgage arrears problem from 14 years ago either. Like, there's a lot of households who have been in mortgage arrears from the last crash, the 2008 crash. We still haven't sorted that out.
Yeah,
that's obviously a key thing as well. To be looked at.
There's a lot there to be looked at. Now, this report then, can anyone get to have a look and a read of it?
Absolutely. Now, it's huge. I think what we find a lot of people might do is maybe take whatever their thing is. So if they're into education, they'll read the education chapter. If they're into healthcare, they'll read the healthcare chapter. Again, we look at sort of overseas development. You know, we look at rural sustainability. We look at libraries. We look at green ways and blue ways, you know, ways of getting people out into their community. So like, there's a huge amount of stuff on this. Everything is on our website, socialjustice.ie.
Very good. Yes, and you also look into climate change, you know, the targets and all of that. There's so many different areas that you look into. And of course, have you put this now, this goes through to government for them to look through and maybe take on board?
Yes, and we were also lucky enough to be able to present to the Oireachtas as well. So we would have had a webinar where we would present just the key topics, because it is a 300-page book. is a huge amount in it. So what we do is we had a webinar, again, that's on our website as well, and it'll be up as a podcast this week. So if people want to just get the highlights of it, they can either watch it or they can listen to it. And then we were able to also present to the Oireachtas a webinar specifically for the Oireachtas. Again, just looking at the real key areas in terms of governmental policy for the next couple of months anyway.
Very good. Well, it sounds like you've really covered everything, and I'm going to definitely go on and have a read of it. So it's socialjustice.ie, is that it?
That's it.
Excellent.
Find it there.
Thanks
Brilliant.
So much, Suzanne, for coming on today to talk to us about the report, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again in the future.
Thanks for having us. Take care.
Not at all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for North East Dublin.
90.3.
90.3. Near FM.